Welcome back from the Desk of Low. For this episode, I have one of the forefathers of hip-hop. He's part of two legendary groups, somebody who I listened to since I was a teenager, probably even before that. He's very fire solo artist, too, and I'm going to ask him a few questions about that, too. I proudly introduce General Steel.
Salute, salute. Good to be here. Thank you for the platform.
And thank you for all the dope music that you've been putting out. I've just been bumping Monumental with that joint with Tyler Woods. I love that song.
Oh, man. Good, thanks.
So, I see you're just getting off a European tour, sir. I'm just wondering, how was that experience for you, sir?
It's always amazing. You know, like, you do your recording, and you do videos and interviews, but it's like, you know, when you step on that stage, it's the moment of truth, the triumphant moment that you was working up to. You know, so it's always liberating to get on that stage and to see how people respond to it. For me, it's like a spiritual event. I love it. And to be in Europe, that's a, you know, that itself was like amazing, because now you crossing borders with your dialogue and bridging gaps and stuff like that. So it's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful experience.
It looks like you guys had a wonderful time out there, too, from your Instagram.
Yeah. Up to me, I probably would still be out there for a little bit longer. You know, so it's always places that have been untouched. You know, we did a few venues in Germany, a few in France. But then there's people going, hey, come to Barcelona, come to Spain, come to Portugal. You know, come to Greece, come to, you know, Australia. So many different places that we haven't touched. And it's always, like, more to experience. So I look forward to that, you know.
Does it still blow your mind that, you know, that people are still, like, crossing borders, like, internationally, like, that don't even speak the same language or bumping your music?
Yeah, man. It's definitely mind-blowing. It's definitely mind-blowing. But language is vast, you know. When you think about language and the English language itself, a big part of it comes from Latin, you know. And you think about hip hop. When you talk about slang, a lot of the slang comes from emotions, you know. A lot of the words that we use, a lot of the new words that are being put into the lexicon, even now, define what we mean as the English dialogue. And I think that hip-hop has breached some gaps with the different slang and the passion that's hidden behind the words and the lyrics and stuff. So it's beautiful to see, man. You know?
Is English your only language that you speak, sir?
Unfortunately, yes. I know a little words in different languages, but not enough to, you know, to get me by.
If it helps, sir, I'm the same. I only probably know only the cuss words in certain languages.
You know, you spend enough time in any one of these places, you'll pick up enough of the idioma to get around, I think.
So when you go overseas, is it a different crowd when you go overseas, or is it just like pretty much the same as it is in the United States, sir? Because I never been to both. I'm still in Canada.
Well, I mean, I think, like, if you go to certain spots in Germany, you know, like Zurich. Zurich is mainly Caucasian. You know, it's maybe a few black faces sprinkled in there. Or if you go to certain spots in France, then you have a different mix-up crowd. You go to Spain, you're going to have a mix-up crowd. Like, it varies. But what I do like is that the crowd has a variation of ages. I've seen kids as young as 8 years old at a show, with their parent, of course. But on their own, I've seen kids there like 14, 15 years old, standing in the front of the stage, and they're enjoying the songs just like they was there when the Shining first came out, which is 20-something years ago, you know. So I think that seeing that reminds me of when I was listening to hip-hop, and I was 13, 14 years old, and it's just refreshing to know that it's an open barrier when dealing with that.
Just wondering, who were you listening to when you were coming up, sir?
Oh, man, anything I can get my hands on. Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five, Kumo D. I had an older uncle, so he was into Dougie Fresh, and he put me on the Google when Google first came out. But I listen to everything, man. Big Daddy Kane, Get Fresh Cool, Juice Cool, Soul Sonic Force, Rapper D-Lite, everything that was around rap at that age, I wanted to hear about it.
Because, you know? Like, I can't imagine having music so accessible, because I won't lie, when I was coming up, because I was born in 91, so I was a little bit spoiled coming up with the music, because it was so easy to access, and I'm just wondering, like, with everything, like, back then, like, how did you guys find everything? Was it all through magazine, or was it, like, some of it through, like, Video Music Box or something like that?
Well, we was lucky enough to have, like, the radio stations were gems for us back then. But they didn't come on until, like, after 2 o'clock in the a.m.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
One, I forget the name. I think his name was P. Nice or something like that. Used to come on at 2 o'clock from 2 to 4 and just play hip-hop that you've never heard before. It was all new stuff. The first time I heard Slick Rick was on one of those late night sessions. Another group, Teddy Ted. Teddy Ted, used to, the Awesome 2 used to play, like, late night. Wild Man Steve, it used to be it used to be a handful of guys who were going on super late, and sometimes from 2 to 6 o'clock, you might catch something on the Tuesday, you might catch something on a Friday night or a Saturday night. But I would have to buy cassette tapes, and I would put them in my tape deck, and I would just record the shows until the tape ran out, because I would clearly go to sleep on them shows. I couldn't stay up that long, you know. But the next day, I would go to school with all brand new music nobody heard before, so I was kind of like the cool guy with the new tunes. So it became like a hobby.
So when you start recording with those tapes too, like, do you still have a lot of those tapes to this day or no?
Oh, absolutely not. I wish I did. Pretty cool, but
it's always a good thing to, you know, have something from your past. I'm pretty sure you have a lot of things from back in the day that you still have.
Yeah, I'm sort of a hoarder. I have quite a few things that I've accumulated. Some recording sessions. I have some cassettes where we was recording The Shining, the first album, and like, this was before we was getting CDs burned. I would request tapes of every version, you know. So I have some tapes where it's like 10 versions of Tim's and Hood Check, and, like, you know, like, why am I saving that? I have no idea. But I'm just, like, weird and quirky like that. But I like to keep stuff, man.
But see, that was also one of my questions I was going to ask you, too. Like, do you listen to a lot of those old tapes from time to time just to, like, just for yourself that you don't plan on releasing, just so you can...
I've accumulated so much stuff, I rarely get to that stuff. But if I'm doing some spring cleaning, you know, I might break out the old tape deck and I'll throw some old in there. I also have, you know, over a few years ago, well, I don't know when it started, but guys are starting to really bring out, bring back tape cassettes.
I've seen that.
So I've got a few cassettes from a few people, and it's kind of cool to kind of pop a cassette in there while you're doing your, you know, cleaning out your basement, cleaning out your, you know, your old drawer, your old closets and stuff like that, and just listen to that old crackling sound. I think it's kind of something interesting about that. Nostalgic.
You know, one of the first cassettes, because I was young coming up, One of the first cassettes I ever touched was the BDI Thug, one of my older cousins had, and I remember,
oh, man.
I remember I wrecked a tape on that from that, and I remember you were so pissed about that. He's like, you know how hard that is to find in Canada?
Yeah, that's wild.
Wow, that's wild. BDI Thug. You know, I kind of wish that, you know, I kind of had a more sense of what was going on during that time, because like I said, like when you guys came out, like I just wanted to check on my phone. Your first song you ever appeared on was Black Moon's first album, right?
Yeah, Black Moon's first.
So when you like, was your name always General Steel?
It was just Steel at first.
Well, when would you say the General came in?
The General, that's kind of tricky. I think it came in maybe around album number 3. I was having moments where I was like, okay, still, I was going through moments where I wanted to change my name. Like, I think that I was going through, like, identity crisis. You know what I mean? Like, I want to put, start using my real name, but it's, maybe it's not cool enough. But I want to start being more, getting into the real person as opposed to the artist who was Steel. And then I started seeing MC, like DJ Steel and other guys using the name. So I'm like, man, what makes me different? I'm not the big guy, the tough guy, the most hardcore with the silver teeth like jaws. So I gotta, what would make me stand out? So I don't know. I started to use that and just assume the position of kind of like stepping up to the plate more. I was already being called the General amongst the boot camp clique, so I figured, let me make it official. And I had to work for it because, you know, it's people be spelling my name wrong, and it's just a pet peeve of mine. I can't stand that, you know, because if it ain't got the E at the end of the name, it's not me. It's somebody else, or some other Steel, or some other guy, you know. So it has to, it's all in a name where it has to be spelled appropriately and the meaning, for the meaning to manifest. So, and I had to switch it. That's what I had to add on, I should say, you know.
Was this like around time of America's Nightmare Part 2, you would say?
It started before then. It started before then. Because I was, before we put out America's Nightmare Part 2, we put out Welcome to Bucktown. You know, and Bucktown, Welcome to Bucktown, it says, you know, I still use in General Steel. General Steel presents Welcome to Bucktown. But I started using it on different features and stuff like that. Like, I started, like, kind of, like, breaking the ice on different things. And then I started demanding that when people give me the credit, and they put General Steel there.
And would you ever consider, because we live in a very interesting time, sir, would you ever consider adding a third installment to the series? Because I believe, like, now it would be the perfect time for that.
You know what? I had actually started working on third one, but I'll call it 2.5. And this was a couple of years ago. This was before Trump was in office. You know? And I was toying around with this fact, but there were so much other things that was going on that it just never manifested. But yeah, you're on something. Right now will be an interesting time to put something like that into effect.
Because like
it's a lot of material right now.
That's what I mean.
Oh my goodness.
That's what I mean about that. That's why I was like, that's why I always wanted to ask you since I found that album, because like you got tracks on that album that I still bump to this day, like State of the Union,
yeah,
Patriot Games, Rebellious, like I can go on.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, now that's real stuff, man. Like those are real, like at that time I was that's where my brain was at, 100%. You know, I was fed up. You know, like right now I'm watching what's the name of that movie? Wag the Dog. It's almost like a big soap opera, but it's really going on. But But you know what? I might work on that, man. A couple other people been trying to push me to that. But, you know, like right now, one of the most important things is pushing is Smith & Wesson, the Smith & Wesson album, and, you know, substantiating some of the artists that I'm working with on my brand, Bucktown USA.
So, you know, with your brand too, Bucktown USA, I'm just wondering, what do you hope to accomplish with that brand, sir?
Well, I would like to make it a household brand. I would like to be able to make it a gateway for some artists and producers to be able to continue to make good classic music. You know, people are going to always utilize music as a tool throughout their lives. And I want to be successful with financial, you know, financial situation could be taken care of, where we can invest back into the community, into more cultural organizations. I've seen a few things that's going on in Jersey and even overseas, where it's like we have performed at this cultural center where it wasn't the conventional center. When I walked in, it looked like an art gallery. And it was just, you know, wooden floors, all white walls, with paintings and pictures on the wall. And then you enter another room, and it's like a classroom with paintings sprawled all over the place. But it seemed like this was where a person might hold a seminar or a tutoring session. And then you walk into a next room, and it's a small venue with a bar, with a little small stage, and this is where we performed at. It wasn't a humongous stage, and it wasn't like something that separates the artists from the people. It brought me closer to what the culture is all about. It's about the fine arts. It's about mingling with the community. It's about teaching. It's about reaching folks. So something like Bucktown USA Entertainment is something that can definitely be a useful vehicle in dealing with strengthening the culture.
See, like, I wish there was more people like you out there, because, like, I'm just wondering, you've done a lot of things in your lifetime, and you're very humble still. Just wondering, like, what makes you very humble?
I don't know. I'm grateful for that. Thank you, man. I think,
Well, you're most welcome. Like,
this is reality for me. This is not, like, I'm not living in a dream, and even still, like, I'm still have some of the same responsibilities as anybody else. And there's more that I want to accomplish. Like, I didn't get to that space where I'm just, you know, I've done everything. So I have to be open-minded, willing to learn, willing to try stuff, you know. So I'm always interested in having a conversation about information.
That's always a good thing, too, sir. One of the things, too, I was always going to ask, besides from recording with your partner, Tech, and being on tour, do you guys keep, like, a day-to-day basis, or do you guys just see each other, like, once a week or something like that?
Yeah, man, I'm kind of like a recluse. Like, I'm kind of like, I don't do too much hanging out, going to parties and stuff like that. I do the exact opposite of what my job requirements are. If I could stay in the house and binge-watch TV series and stuff like that, old movies, I'll do stuff like that. Or I'll go to the park with my lady and do some reading, or, you know, have a spliff and a tea and sit out there and enjoy nature, enjoy God's canvas. So I don't really hang out with anybody like that. Every once in a while, yeah, we'll do something. We don't have, we're older now. We have different responsibilities, so it's no more just like frivolous hanging around, writing sessions and stuff like that. It's only when we need to get to the work, you know what I mean? When we get to the work, that's when it all comes out. That's when we lock in, we get it done, and keep it moving. But other than that, nah.
You keep it pretty simple, like me, like the spliff and the tea. I feel you on that one, sir.
Yeah. Real organic, like, man, too good. Not, but, you know, every once in a while, I might entertain and I might have a couple of the guys come over to my place. I'll play some music, like, you know, I have the new project, so a lot of guys, you know, they don't have access to it. I'll maybe have some beers or some booze or something like that. And, you know, I play the tunes, and that might, you know, that could go on all night. You know, or we'll have a barbecue. Like before we started the tour, you know, we had a barbecue, invited a few close friends, and we let the joints rock out, ate some food, broke some bread, and before we did our farewell to start the journey. You know, it's simple, man, simple stuff. You know.
But hey, that's some of the best times of life. It's just enjoying the simple things in life.
Yeah. This is what I look back. But you know, I look back at when we first started, and I kind of regret not taking my time with stuff. You know, everything happened so fast, and you were young, and it was a lot of things that we didn't absorb well. It's just kind of like jump full steam, face first in the pool. And we survived, nonetheless. But there were a lot of things that we could have did different as a team and myself as an individual. But I'm grateful to still be here in that regards, whereas others have just kind of like dwindled, faded away.
Yeah, because there's a lot of artists that are not getting booked and they're still not putting music out. See, with you, you're still currently active and you're still getting booked for shows.
Yeah, thank God for that.
But that's because you put out, like, you guys put out timeless music. Like, that music's always going to be here, always.
Yeah, I'm grateful, man, because at some part, it's like, you can get frustrated with it all, you know? Like, you might not get the response that you want or you think you need to have to move forward, and it might become discouraging. Some guys get caught up in the whirlwind of trying to go with the times, like, act like there's something that they're not, just because they think that that's what people like to hear. I'm glad that Tech and I have kind of stuck to the script of who we are, not trying to, you know, carve and copy whatever's hot at the moment. So a lot of our lyrics come across as just genuine and just like real street poetry, as opposed to us trying to promote a lifestyle of, you know, just like gouging and hoarding and coveting and stuff like that. There's so much more to life, man. Even the basic conversation itself.
That's very true. That's very true. When you say, like, just the basic conversation itself, too, like, do you, like, would you ever be, like, have you ever done motivational speaking before?
I have spoken to a few, I've spoken to a few platforms like that, but not, you know, none of recent.
Not like on a tour, just talking.
No. I've done like a few dates, at colleges, different colleges and different schools, but it wasn't, you know, collective, like as a tour. But I've spoken about it with a few people, but recently I've just more so been concentrating on, you know, finishing what's in front of me, which is the music, and getting that done, and then I can, you know, I guess move around, be more flexible. But I would definitely do something like that. I think about it all the time, because that's what it feels like when I'm around my friends. They give me enough enough material to motivate.
See, and that's good things too, like, because you're supposed to be around people who motivate you, so salute to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when I first started this podcast, I used to try to get everybody from the boot camp to appear on the show, and it kind of fucks me up still that I got Buckshot to be, like, the first person from your guys' camp to appear on the show. He's a very genuine soul. I'm just wondering, how did you two meet?
I met Buckshot through his sister. His sister went to night school with his sister, and at the time she recognized me because I was on different variety shows doing my single rap, and my rap name was MC Steel at the time. And she started dancing for me shortly after. And she suggested that I meet her brother because he's a much better dancer. And that from there, you know, we became good friends.
And then, too, like, when you guys, like, show genuine love for each other on the ground, you don't see that much nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, we actually spent a lot of time together, man. So, you know, like, it's like a lot of families, even families don't speak that often. But we've spent a lot of time together. We've gained and we've lost. So we can share a lot more than just rapping on stage. So I think it's, you know, it's great to have that genuine, you know, that true interest and love from these brothers.
Do you think it's too early for a boot camp clip movie? Because you guys have a crazy story. Like, you guys were around.
you guys were around
people who don't want to hear.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a dope story. I never thought about that. Like, I actually started writing the book, and you know, I got like maybe like 10, 15 pages in, and I had to stop because I'm like, wow, it's stories within the stories, you know. Each one of us within the camp has a relationship with each other separate from the whole camp, you know? And I grew up, I knew Sean Price before both of us was rapping. And going to see my grandma, he lived around the corner. So our relationship started way before the boot camp. And I would spend time with Buckshot. When I met him, he wasn't even rapping yet. He was still dancing. And he was doing some acrobatic stuff. So I knew him before who got the props. It was shortly, a couple of years, but you know, things of that nature. Like Rock, I met him when I was solo artist. And he lived in the projects. The old Top Dog is my brother. Louisville's thing. I know Louisville, but I ain't like Louisville because he was too quiet. So I was like, how you gonna be boot camp? I don't never see this kid talk. I ain't never seen him rap. I never seen him. But he lived in Rock's building and Rock was training him. So it was like, all right, you know, working with these guys and you start seeing growth and stuff like that. So it's relationship building things that go on when you're not even there. And those stories are definitely a big part of why we all still together. I lived with Buckshot for a little while. We was fucking roommates, you know what I'm saying? We was roommates when I got my first apartment away from my girl and I split with her and I needed a place. We became roommates, man, you know? And we shared that up until, we shared that for quite a while. You know, it was a good experience. And then even after that, you know, Buck and I were always the two guys who would talk for hours, stand on the corner under the moon and just talk about everything. Literally everything under the sun, moon, and stars, you know? Never go inside. He hated to be inside the walls. But yeah, that would be an interesting movie, man. It might have to be like a series. It might have to be a series because it's so much intertwined in there. Like, you would have to go in, you would have to peer into you would have to peel back the layers.
It could be, you know what I mean? If you think about it, it could be like the next Star Wars.
It could be because the new guys are definitely, they've learned from us and they take it to some next new, you know, they rightly inherited the baton where it sounds like they're on course with what the sound is now without being corny with it.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's a good splash. It's a nice little mix.
You know, your partner, Tech, told me to, and this is something that it kind of put me on a mission, but he told me to be the bridge to the generation gap, and I can't tell you how much I think about that every day. I'm just like, does it blow your mind that you see these kids disrespecting, like, the older people in the game for clout?
Yeah, that does blow my mind. I don't come from there. I don't come from that place. Like I told you earlier, you know, I was listening to all hip hop. Before guys were popular with names, I was listening to that stuff. That's how I know about a lot of these artists that came out around the time we came out, because they was hustling since then. And how could you be in a craft, any profession, without knowing the history of that profession? Or at least knowing the ins and outs of what you got to do on a day-to-day basis to be successful there. I can't respect that. I sympathize with these guys.
Maybe that's why I don't listen to a lot of the new music that comes out, and I find myself like going back and just looking up like an old San Quinn album from 96 that came out when I was like five.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that are buried too. You know, it's buried behind the popular music. Now it's about a lot about numbers, like you said, clout chasing and seeing who got the most of whatever. And the music gets kind of buried, but there's some stuff there. That's another thing I like about going overseas too, because you can start seeing the fact that a lot of these guys don't care about that stuff. You know, they don't care about that clout stuff. It's cool to have. If you're a kid, you want to have a clout. You want to have, like, you want to be on the in crowd. You want to be doing all of the things that's cool to do. But then there's kids that sit by themselves in the park, and they cool amongst themselves, and they cool with that. So they create a whole nother bohemian type of style, and they might be outcast at a popular cast, but that's also a genre, that's also a demographic that's to be catered to as well. So you can't just be stuck in one. It'll serve you to be like a J. Cole can move around in the industry because of that. You know, he can do both. He's clearly successful at what he's doing, so it's just fair to say that he's making money. You know, he's living good. He's also humble enough to be in the neighborhood and with his nappy hair and go to the store and buy stuff and hand out gifts and buy mama a house. You know, simple things that you really want to do in your heart.
Yeah, because he doesn't put out no microwave music.
Right. Like the fast food stuff, that 7-Eleven garbage.
Yeah, that's true. That's candy. That's what's a lot of the things. I forget who told me about it. A lot of things that are coming out is candy, and that's not. I think Guilty Simpson told me that.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because it has no shelf life. You know, all these preservatives and stuff, and it's unhealthy. Has no shelf life. It's not like going back 20 years from now and going, yo, I remember this guy, little la la la. You know, but it has its place, though. It does have its place because in society, society sets the tone of the music. You know,
yes, sir.
So this is where we at, and I think that whatever comes out of that, you know, hopefully it spins around and people start to mature a bit and have a more I guess open dialogue about the communities and stuff. Like I seen it, the thing I was describing to you, that was in Brussels, you know, and in Brussels, like, you had, like, right now in Brussels they're celebrating Christmas, this whole Christmas thing, so they have, like, you know, these, vending, these open vendors where they're selling their goods, wares, all kind of stuff. New York is not doing that yet. New York is just like, it's just cold, and New York looks like London right now. It's gray sky. There's nothing, there's a lot of buildings, people are just passing each other, there's no warmth whatsoever. You know, when you go to some spots in Switzerland, it'll smell like Christmas. They'll have chestnuts really roasted in the open fire in the middle of the street, and warm wine, and the culture of giving and the season is all in the air, so you feel that energy. And then there's people who live there, the kids who live there, they're absorbing that stuff, but they're still able to go write rhymes. and their rhymes won't be about shooting, it won't be about stabbing, it won't be about doing drugs. It'll just be about the euphoria of life. You know, they might make better tunes. They might make tunes that cater to young people and older people, more tunes that are able, might be able to listen to more so than some of these other things that just are like, you know.
And plus, our songs are changing today. The sound is very changing today. So I just got two more questions for you, and I'll let you go because I know you're a very busy man, and I appreciate you doing this for me, sir.
I appreciate you taking the time out because I totally understand what Tech is saying when he says, you know, there's a generation gap. This is things that, you know, one thing that I do remember is when I was younger, I had no access to the artists. So I was intrigued by the words. I was intrigued, like how I kept saying, you're intrigued by the way I do my thing. Do what? Pick up the mic, how I make swing. Like, definitely was intrigued, like, oh wow, this is really happening. This is exploding in front of our eyes. This wasn't like this 5 years ago. You know, you're listening to soul music, you're listening to old disco music and stuff like that, whatever auntie and granny had. So when we came out, we bridged the generation gap between the old and the current generation, because the old generation, they believed that hip hop was some crap, you know, just messing up with the records and the fame and the legacy. They didn't realize that these kids was onto something. You know, once they realized that, it's like now you live through that whirlwind, and you get to be able to now have access to your heroes. Like, that's amazing. Like, when I think about, all right, this kid that's looking at me rap, and this kid is, what, 16 years old, and look like he know the lyrics, I'm more amazed by that. So I want to go shake his hand, take a picture, post it on my Instagram page. That's my duty, to bridge the gap, to go, yo, it's all right to be whatever age you are and listen to whatever kind of music you want to listen to. You don't have to be stuck into age barrier or race barrier because somebody made up these wacky lines. So it's like, you know, you deliver the message and let people know, like, it's cool.
And that's exactly what I want to do. I want to let people know, like, don't matter, like, what area you're from, there's a lot of dope things if you just go back and do the homework. And that's the thing, like, a lot of people don't want to go back and do the homework.
Right. It's cool. Maybe they'll take the time, maybe they won't, but it's there. You know, it's like when I go overseas, if I have a day off, I like to go see the city. And there's no way in the world you can see a city in a day.
No.
They say do Rome in a day, like, that would be crazy. If you could, you get up in the morning, soon as the sun cracks, and you just go around Rome and just try to see the whole city. Like,
the whole day.
That would be a story to tell right there. Like, it seemed like fun, but man, it's so much. It's so much. So I think about when I come to New York City, and it's a lot to see in New York City that I don't normally see. It's the same thing with music. The same thing with information and knowledge. Knowledge is there for people to grasp and gravitate to it, if they will, or if someone comes along and puts them on to it. That's another thing I enjoy about doing music. It's like a time capsule. You know, you put something in a time capsule, and people can always go back, like a virtual museum, and go, wow, this came out in 1995. This is how cats was rhyming. This is how they was dressing. This is how they sound. Wow, this is 2011. Ooh, this is interesting. I can see the evolution, the elevation, in the dialogue and the consideration and the concepts and content. And, you know, you can see a future by looking at the diagram, you know. But it's fun as well. You know, it's good to be able to travel on something that you like to do and meet new faces. And so it's always like gives you that new breath, you know, because it could be difficult. Could be extremely difficult. You can start to hate what you do. You know, see it as a labor.
But see, that's what makes you unique, though, because, like, you like what you do. You're not just doing it. It's like, oh, I gotta go do this show, so let me knock this show. And, like, I seen you engage with the crowd, too. Like, that's what I mean. A lot of people don't do that. But it's the energy.
Yeah.
It's the energy that you bring, though.
Yeah, I feed off of them, for sure. And I respect them as humans, so...
And you know, that's, like I said, that's rare. I wish the world wouldn't have more people like you in this world.
Well, thank you, bro. Appreciate that.
I got to speak the truth. You're very welcome, sir. So just two more questions, and then
okay.
I'll go. So you started one of my styles. Like, it's not my style. It's actually your style. I wear Tim's and hoodies a lot, too. Like, does that still blow your mind that you started, like, that kind of movement?
I think that, you know, I wouldn't claim ownership of that, because that's really come from a place where, like, New York was a cold place. So, you know, hoodies when you was old enough to wear hoodies really was like mostly criminals wore hoodies. And as a kid, I can't even remember having a hoodie. I don't think my parents bought me a hoodie. I had, like, ugly knit sweaters and stuff like that. So, you know, we had the criminals, the older guys with really champion hoodies with the comb heads. And, you know, Tim's was already, like, a staple. We just took it and just maximized it and made it a thing. You know, Tim's and hood, like, when you put that on, that's time to get busy. Now you're about to go to work, whatever it is, you know. So, same thing with the camouflage. Like, the camouflage, like, guys was wearing camouflage before, but we assumed the prevention of soldiers, and we started to maximize on that. And that's how we dealt with each other in the studio. On a personal level, we was really training each other and sleeping together on the floor, and I used to say bunking up, and, you know, a lot of these things was the mentality that we was on, so we just pushed it like that, more than anybody.
did Pac ever say, he's like, yo, let me get some hoodies and Tim's real quick from y'all?
Nah.
Pac and hoodies and Tim's, that's why I was wondering if you ever seen them in those, actually.
Well, you know what? It might be like one or two pictures. But he definitely have a lot of Tim's in his closet, you know. he wasn't really with the Tim stuff, like. But yeah, man, yeah, you're right about that. Like, that was a staple, but it was more so a New York thing, you know. It was like the five boroughs. That was some real sweet stuff to do.
See, I never been to New York, but I'm heavily inspired by New York.
Yeah, New York has a lot of culture, man. That's another thing, like, the time capsule, the museums. It's museums all over this place, and we walk right by them, you know. And only time people are going to notice is probably where they're going, or they lose access to them, you know. But they're around, you know. Gardens, parks, walk through them parks, walk by the river, the lake, or whatever, and make a wish, look at some different stuff, open up your mind, and you can travel through just absorbing the environment.
I'll tell you one thing, though, with the first place when I travel next year, I already made the plans for New York City, so I'll definitely be checking out some museums down there.
Yeah, New York is one big museum. you can walk from downtown Brooklyn to like 42nd Street, and it will blow your mind. You know, on a beautiful day, a nice walk or a nice bike ride through the city, because there's so much, man, so much. But one thing it is, it's super busy. You ride through the city. Super busy. But then there's spots where if you want to be on some cool out stuff, you can go. You know, go by the promenade or Brooklyn Bridge Park, and go sit by the water, sit in the grass, and you know, do something different. But there's a lot of beautiful spaces in there.
Well, I hope someone else takes that, and I'll take that. So this is my last question that I ask all my guests, and I always wanted to hear your response to this question. Do you have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
Words for anybody what?
Do you have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
In a thug's place?
Yes.
Wow. That's an interesting question. I think, you know, nobody struggles the same. And it'd be presumptuous to say that, you know, you gotta do the right thing all the time. But I can't say that if you know what's right, you know, if you try to do what you do for the right reasons and you keep your business to yourself and you're trying to get out the game or you're trying to live better, like make that be your goal, you know, and hopefully you don't put no blood on your hands and you can't live with yourself, because then you start to defy your own goals. You know, I ran with a gang when I was younger, and I'm still in the game right now, but I'm not running around committing crimes and causing harm to people. If anything, the gang is going to be used for more positive, more constructive tasks. And that sometimes you got to go through some hardships. So I would say always stay focused, do the knowledge, don't lose sight of the breath that flows through your lungs. Your life is important and it's definitely worth living, just as the next man or woman. You know, so concentrate on life, man. Do things that that take us there on that journey.
Well, with that being said, I think that's the perfect way to end the episode, because in my beliefs, ever since Prodigy died, it really inspired me to give people flowers while they can smell it. And I'm really glad I got to tell you that, how much your music means to me and how much it's going to mean to me more. Because now every time that I hear your songs, I'm just going to cherish it even more because I got to have this interaction with you.
Oh, man, thank you. Man, I appreciate this conversation for sure.
Appreciate it. Is there anything that you'd like to plug in before I let you go, General Steel?
Well, Mitchell Wesson, album number 7, titled The All, produced by Ninth Wonder and Soul Council, released in 2019, January. I hope the people love it. There's some gems on there, Soul Life. And also, in 2019, look for some more General Steel music coming out of Bucktown, USA Entertainment.
And just remember, everybody, Bucktown is everywhere.
Yeah.
And I just stopped the recording, sir. I-